We praise God and give all the glory and praise and honor to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. It's been a great time of worship. Pastor has been kind of leading us in the time of worship. And also, thank you very much for the presence that we got as men and father from the Women's Fellowship. Thank you very much for doing it. And yes, we do want to recognize Father's love. And we want to recognize as fathers in here. And yes, growing up as a little child, losing dad at 6 years old, and where do you look up to as father? Whom do you look up to? It's going to be a question sometimes, okay, this is where I would like to see my father, or this is whom would I like to be, or I have grown up without a dad, or maybe I haven't been in a contact, but I have known the Father who never let me down. I have known the Father who is ever so faithful. I have known the Father who loves me so much. And I have known the Father who has forgiven me. I have known the Father who has given his only child, only son, for me to die on the cross so that I could be called his child. And this morning we have been remembering it's a Father's Day. We have been celebrating it's a Father's Day. But I would just like to encourage and say to everyone, how old you might be, grandfather or great grandfather, but you are still son of Heavenly Father, and he loves us so much, and everyone, and he loves everybody so much that he gave his only son for us. And that's where we put our faith in. That's where we know who our Father is. So if it has been a bad experience, there's been something that okay growing up, but still I know my Father in heaven loves me. And happy fathers to all the men here and who are fathers to be yet. And yes, God bless you. And thank you very much once again. Yes, I'm not going to share something about a father, but I'm not going to share something about that. We have been going on with the series of the full armor of God. And we have come to the shield of faith. We'll be talking about it. Before we go, just let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. For you are our great Father, and you are a good, good Father. And Lord, how much you love us more that you gave his, your only, only Son for us. And we thank you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you, and we thank you for your presence so far. And we also ask for you to minister to us. Let these words be your words, Lord, that serves and ministers to each one of us at the point of our need. And we give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm very much used now. Actually, I've been preaching in India for 3 weeks, and also I've preached about 12 to 14 sermons there in those days and being in there. So I'm very much used to a response, kind of, okay, praise the Lord, and then I don't have to ask again. They'll be out there shouting hallelujah. And yes, come on, let's be in it. I would like to feel I'm back in India again, because I've become homesick now, being here for a couple of weeks. So I just have to get to the tune, and I have to get to that back. So let's hallelujah, and then amen, amen. That's where you are. We are going in the right path now. So let's see. All right. Where we are going, right, yes. Yeah, met my young son, Jaden. He's still young, but yes. When he was probably 4 or 5 years old, he was trying to ride his bike. He's just learning. And when he was learning, he wanted his dad to hold his bike as he's learning. I was holding his bike, and he tried to move on and trying to cycle. And then somebody else came to visit our house. And he said, okay, Jaden, I will hold your bike, you ride. And he said, no. And he said, I will wait for my dad to come to hold my bike. And the reason being, is that man not capable of holding his bike? I don't think that's the reason. The only reason is, my son has faith in me. And he knows as a dad that I love him. And he knows, okay, even if I fall down, my daddy is gonna carry me. My daddy is gonna lift me up. And I know even if I fall down, if I got an injury, he will hug me and comfort me and lift me up. You know, a little bit, when you go through those instances, you think, you know what? My son trusts me so much. And my son has that faith in me. And if you talk about the same, how much more we should be trusting our Heavenly Father. The one who created the whole universe and the one who created everything and still is and has given the dominion to us over everything all over this earth. And now, how much more we should have faith in him. And I was just going through this shield of faith. Yes, we do look at it. But before I go into shield of faith, I just want to put you in a position. Somebody in the Bible has already been there. And I want you to put in there in the same position. In Daniel chapter 3, when we talk about, there are these three mighty men of God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And when they were asked to bow before the image of gold, they said, no, we are not going to bow down before the image of the gold you have made. My God is big enough to save me. My God can save me. And also when they say, right, my God can save. I like the later part. Even if he does not, still you will know my God. And if I want to put you in that position, there are so many people out there in other parts of the world who are standing in that position saying, you know what, I believe in my God. He is mightier. He can save. Even though he does not save, still you will know who my God is. What is it that made them so strong to say that question, or to say that, you know what, my God can save. Even if he doesn't, you will still know who he is. I would just like to look at it. Let's look at Daniel chapter 3, verses. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that this is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor we will worship the gold image which you have set up. So, what made them to say, we will not worship you, but we worship somebody else who is able to deliver us? And in this instance, I would just like to go into the part where we are talking about shield of faith. What is it they have is the faith. They just did not see the instant circumstances of fiery furnace. But what they did see is beyond what they are able to see with their naked eye, or beyond the circumstances they are in, beyond what is in the present situation that they are looking at. They have the whole picture rather than the instant or the short sight of, okay, what it is. They had the whole picture of saying, you know what, my God can deliver us. If it is not the case, he would deliver us here, we know where we are going. We know what happens. In that situation, if I would ask you a question, maybe we are going through some situations where we are stuck. You know, there is probably not Nebuchadnezzar who is putting you in fire, but we feel the situations that we might be there. We feel the situations, you know what, I'll be going through that furnace. But they know exactly where they put their faith in. They exactly know. If we are not saved in the path of this fiery furnace, but we do know that our God will save me. Our God, they will come to know whom we serve. And that's what is happening in the most and also the other part of the world. As well, when they are looking at some who are giving their lives. And Uncle John, when he comes forward, he always talks about those people whose throats are cut and who are being just crucified, or if we can say killed, for their faith because of whom they believe in. We are in a very comfortable and we are in a very good zone to say, you know what, we are here what we are. And we are doing what we should be doing on a Sunday morning, coming over here for a few hours. But if we put that faith in, and how do we exercise? What is it that speaks into our circumstances? What is the need for this shield of faith in our lives? If we are already in here, in your situations that we are talking about, yes, we don't have as many situations that they were in Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, or it is not the same situation as Daniel has been. But what is it that we should be going, or we are going through, that we need the shield of faith? It's already, as it says in Ephesians chapter 6 from verses 10, we are not fighting flesh and blood. What we are fighting is against principalities. And this is where we are looking into what is happening in our current situation. What happens when we do not have faith? What happens when we do not shield, when we don't have? And let's look at this in terms of why Paul is mentioning faith as a shield. We have looked at the first one, the belt of truth, which is on your body. And the second one, we talked about breastplate, and we talked about the shoes. And now comes to the shield, which is not actually attached to body, which is away. And in some of the versions, if you look at King James and some English, he says, above all, and also in Greek translation, if you look into it, in addition, and above all, lift up the shield of faith. The shield of faith is the first defensive armor. If you look at it, before it comes to your body, you have the shield to defend it in the first instance. If we are not strong in that, yes, it hurts. Even though you put the armor, even though your body is covered with the rest of the armor, what Paul talks about is the shield must be strong. When we look at it, this Roman's shield, this Roman shield, and some explain it in a different way, but Roman's shield, we are not talking about a fancy one with a shape, or a fancy one which comes up like a little one with a. It is normally, when the Romans used, the shield was about 4.5 feet. That means about the size of my wife, I mean, or a little boy. She's my shield anyway, just to say. She takes very strong things, and she's a strong woman, yes. Small things comes in a kind of small package, and the strong things, right? However, yes, I love you, Chino, anyway. Because it's Father's Day, I have to be treated well again, you know, you see. That's what I'm very cautious. The shield at the Roman period is 4.5 feet, about good size. And it's made of 3 layers of wood. And its edges are made of brass, and there is a metal in the center. And it's not just to kind of look at the arrows or whatever comes in, but you can actually tuck down behind it, and you can actually hold it there. So that whole part of your body is shielded by the shield there. It's all covered. It's all protected. So that's the part of it. So even if it is, we are talking about the truth, even if we are talking about righteousness, even talking about the peace, this has to be behind the faith. So this is where we are looking at the shield of faith. So we are shielding, we need to have that, because the enemy throws out, the world throws out, your own relatives throw out different things that come against you. And this is what we need more now, even for the children or even for us. If we are not strong, it's very easy to get attacked, and can pierce through the shield and come to the vital organs of your body. And the main thing the shield does, also, if we look at the verse, Ephesians chapter 6, can we get the verse up, please? Above all, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And when you're talking about it, I would like to draw a picture here. The enemy is not just an arrow. They would have a pointed iron or metal bit at the end, and they dip it into kind of a fuel, and then they'll also fire it. There'll be a fire at the end, and then they will shoot the arrow. So what these Romans also did sometimes was they used to soak their shields in water. So when this fire arrows come on, they will be quenched. They do not carry the fire any further. Their arrows were, this fire is quenched. So here, what we use as a weapon is very important. What we are being attacked is, we have to know it's not simple arrows or simple things that we come across. We have to have the right armor to come against the weapons or the what we are attacked with. So here, as a Roman soldier, that was very important for them to carry the shield. So Paul refers that shield of faith, what the Roman soldiers were carrying then. So we are talking about the shield of faith here. What is the essence of, the effective essence or efficiency of this shield? The efficiency of the shield is asserted here, exactly what is shown. You shall be able to quench all the fire, all the fiery dots that comes through. Not some, not few. The efficiency of the shield is to quench everything that comes against. What happens if you're not quite strong in that? Uncertainty and fear generally springs up from weakness of faith. If you're not guarded with that strong shield, uncertainty comes in. And we look into, okay, what is it, how to come against fear? And when we talk about it, is the faith that helps us to overcome the fear. So the man who is strong in faith in Christ, do what you would. He knows what he has believed. First thing, we should know what we are believing in, what we have put the trust in, and who is our author of the faith, where we put our trust in. We'll come into it in a bit here. He understand what he has received. If our faith is strong, we know what we have received through the work of Christ already. This is what we are looking at. He could not or would not give up what knowing the truth of God is. This is what we shield, knowing we are strong in God's faith, or knowing our faith in Christ, strong faith in Christ. And as we are talking about, when the spears come through, at once when they come in contact with the shield, they will break and they will splinter into 1,000 pieces or bend reeds. So when you are attacked, if the shield protects you and keeps those all spears and arrows away from you, and in the first instance. And also, having the shield of faith is just not enough for us. We just have to use accordingly. If we, let's say, I mean, there has been an example that has been studying as well when I'm going through this. It says, okay, if you are going to a battle and a soldier says that I have left my shield back in the home or back in my army. So what use it is having it when you are not able to carry and use it? And we do have that faith. We do know how strong we are. We do know we have our faith in Lord. But are we using as and when they are supposed to be used? As and when what against what we are supposed to be using it. It is not just carrying it is enough. Yes, I'm being here, I come to church, I'm doing what I should be doing, or I have faith in it. But if we do not use the shield, you will be damaged. You will be attacked. And that is very important to carry it and use it. And we know at least of where our faith comes from or what it is, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. In Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 says, you must mind that your faith is fixed in person of Christ. Where we fix our faith is not in each other. And I was just saying to Bongani when she was asking about something, I was saying, as we can see it in Psalms 20 and verse 4, some trust in chariots and horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord. They have fallen down, but we are still standing up. What is or where is the trust in? Where are our eyes fixed on? And there now we can see, there might be, I'm not going to go into the details or speak about it a lot, but the uncertainty in the country, uncertainty in political system, or uncertainty in financial, uncertainty of, we don't even know what's going to happen, but there is so much fear and uncertainty. But you know what? We as Christians, as we have faith, we are not moving. We are not shaken. Because you know why? Our eyes are fixed on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from beginning to the end. We are not starting, okay, my faith starts, our journey starts. And in another versions it says, Jesus, who is the founder and the perfecter of our faith. We fix our eyes on Jesus. And that's where we are looking at. No matter what's going around, no matter what the attacks of, whatever the attacks we are facing, no matter what the situations are, whatever is happening around us, that's not what is. That's exactly what Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego knew exactly what's happening. They knew, yes, there is the fire in front of them. They knew exactly the situation. If they don't bow down to that golden image, they were going to be thrown. They knew it. But one thing that kept them going is that their eyes are fixed on God. Far more than the short sight they can see. Far more than to say, you know what? You might kill me. I might die through these fiery flames that you put me, Nebuchadnezzar. But you know what? I know where I am going. I know it's not the beginning, but I also can see the end. So this is where I would like to show you as well. When we are looking at it, when we let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from the beginning to the end. The end is not end of our lives. The end is not when we have finished whatever the work we are asking for. The end is not that God has answered our prayers, but till He comes. And that's what we also see when Paul says, you know what? We will be continuing to do it until He comes, until He returns. And He is our founder and perfecter. And we should be knowing, not at the shortest sight of the circumstances, but looking at far beyond, far above the circumstances and see, you know what, He is the founder of our faith. Hallelujah. Amen. We are still there. Yes, we are going. He did not give up because of the cross. On the contrary, because of the joy that was waiting for him, he thought nothing of the disgrace of dying on the cross, and he is now seated at the right side of God's throne. And he knew the end of it. Being seated at the right hand of God. And now we go through some situations where we look at it right now. And we think, yes, this is the end of it. This is what we are going through. This is the situation I am in. And if we read this so many times, and we know so many times of Joseph as well when we look at it, if he had so many instances, and if he had looked at it isolated, he wouldn't have been there where God wanted him to be. Let us not look at the circumstance you are going through as an isolated situation. Let us look at it through a picture that God has given you. Let us see the whole picture of what is happening. Yes, the circumstance now is very difficult. The health which we have is not coping with us, or is not helping us to move forward. The education that our children whom we wanted it to be is not going as we wanted it to be. The employment or the job situation is not so great. Financial situations are not so great. And everything, if we look at it, yes, not as much as we would like it to be. But the whole picture is, you are not stuck in one isolated situation. Looking far beyond how God has brought us from the past. And he has been so faithful so far. And we have been celebrating our 80 years of anniversary. He has been faithful so far. Thus far he has been faithful. That's where they put the stone Ebenezer. We have to have those memories to set a stone. As Pastor was preaching the other Sunday. We have to have those. So in the same situation when we are looking at, we know the stories. How God has helped Israelites to come through the Egypt. He has been faithful. We have heard the stories. How he helped Daniel. How he helped Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. And we have seen all those read about the stories. But now we look into our personal story. If you are sitting here, you know God has brought you through a circumstance. If you are sitting here, it's not that you have had a plain surface to walk through. There were ups in your life and there were downs in your life. There were so many terrible situations. You are not always going. There might be some stops in your life as well. You are stuck there. And then you thought, Lord, help me, I'm stuck in here. If you look into our lives, there are those situations. But now you look back and think, thank you, Lord, for that situation. You helped me through and you brought me out through, and I know I have become and I have come out stronger. I have come out even having more trust in you. I have come out being a fighter. I know I can. I thank you. You made me to know how strong I am. And you will be just thanking God for what he has done in our lives. And that's where we will be looking at is any arrow that comes through, whatever it happens. But one which is very much everybody, we talk about faith and not giving this definition or a reference. I probably doubt it if anybody hasn't given it. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. We talk about what is faith. And this is very, very important to look at it. Because we read it very, very common to say, yes, which we know this is, we live by in terms of what faith is. Those which is a substance, what we are hoping for. Let me just look into the word hope here. Sometimes we just look at few things or we do some things, and one of the, I don't know if I heard from Pastor David or somebody else, I can't remember where it heard from, but when they were kind of in a wedding, when they brought the bride and groom together and they said, okay, you are getting married hoping that your relationship would work. And I thought, that's not the case that you hope for. It's not hoping, okay, we'll be together. It's not hoping that. But having that faith to say, yes, we will work this relationship for. And what I'm saying here is, it is a substance we are hoping for. Hope is not, oh, I hope you are well. That doesn't mean you are just saying it because maybe, may not be. Or it's not something we are just saying because it might be well. What hope is for is what we have already seen. It's based on an evidence, based on kind of quite a strong thing. Let's look at it, how it is based on the evidence of what God has done for us. It is based on what Jesus has already finished on that cross for us. Amen. It is not something we are reading a story. It's not something we are hearing a story from somebody. It's not something which is we are expecting this to happen again. But God has already finished it on that cross. And that's the hope. It's not an assumption. It's not, okay, it's gonna be okay. It is actually, evidence is already given to us of what God is doing. There is already the evidence to say God has finished it on that cross. There is also evidence of those people who have believed in Him. Pastor is going through the heroes of faith in that Hebrews chapter 11. When we look at those people, why did Abraham leave his country and moved on? It's because of his faith. What is it? We say it's faith, but I don't think, oh yes, God will help me through none. But I'm sure He has seen already what God has planned Him for in and known it. And He has evidence and substance of already in His probably vision or sight or however, He has already seen it. And He has known the existence of the things which He hasn't seen yet. And Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, what they have seen when they stated those statements, even though if my God does not deliver us, you will know it, who our God is. Because they have not assumed it, but they had a picture or they had the evidence of my God has much better things in Him and I know it, I can see it. Now, whatever the situation you are going through, I don't know. Whatever the circumstance we are in or you are in, I don't know. But what I can say is what is it or where you would like it to be, you have to see it already. In a circumstance when I'm saying, in health, yes, look at it when you are well. And then that's where you will be going through. Because the faith is the important component of where you put trust in and also your own confidence as well. If we do not see what we are hoping for, if we do not have the substantial existence of what you are looking at, it does not give you the confidence. You will be wavering. Okay, where am I going? Where am I stepping? I know the way, the destination, but I don't know if I am going the right. So where you'll have uncertainty. And then the fear creeps in. But that's not where we want to be. We want to see the existence of it already in our ways, in our attitudes, in our minds and in our thoughts so that we can shield it. We are already shielded of all the fear and everything. So we have to see it in our minds and in our hearts. This is where I am already. My circumstance has been cleared already. So this is where I am. And declaring it, Lord, thank you. No matter what the situation here is, what I am seeing is what you have given to me. What I am going or where I am going is the place where you want me to be. I'm not there yet. My circumstance is blocked. I have no space to move around. But I know that God has already planned it. I know where I'm going. And if we declare that in our lives, you know what? That's where we are shielding our faith. This is our shield of faith. That's where we are shielding everything of our trust, truth, and everything there. So yes, I have already seen it. I already know it. I have already have the picture of where I am going. May there be uncertainty now, but I can see it. That's the evidence of what it is unseen. But you have the existence of it already, knowing my God has done it. My Jesus has done it. And everything that's happened is done it already. And now, we live by faith, but not what we see. Here, what I am seeing is, yes, going back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what they are seeing is fierce fire. What they are seeing, Moses, when he is seeing, is the Red Sea. What Daniel is seeing is the lion's den. It's not easy. It's not easy. And now what is it you are seeing? Is that the financial situation? Is that the debts? Is that the every day of your life, what is coming through the bills? Is that what you are seeing? In terms of health situations, doctors' reports, is that what you are seeing? In terms of our life situations, what is that you are seeing? In terms of our children, what we are seeing? What we are seeing physically is not what God wants us to see. What God wants us to see is the existence of what He has already done it on that cross. What He wants us to see is what is hoping for, what we are actually seeing, the existence there. Why? I am here today because of a situation where I was in a hut 12 years ago asking forgiveness and asking, Lord, help me to come out of these situations, I will serve you. It's not because of I asked, but because of His favor, His grace, and also my Father is faithful. And because of His faithfulness, if I looked at the circumstance there 12 years ago, where I was in a situation, 15 people chasing us, and we were about to kind of be killed if we were caught by those 15 people, and the circumstances there, if we could only look up to those circumstances, I wouldn't have been here today. But what I already know, what God has given me years ago is, I have made you to be a lighthouse. Isaiah 42, 6 and 7. That's the promise He has. I have chosen you. I have called you by your name to make you a lighthouse to the Gentiles, to free those people who are in prisons, and to open those eyes who are blind. I have that promise that God has given me. Asking God, Lord, this is your promise, but my circumstances, I am stuck in this hut. I am here that people are chasing me. I don't know where I am going at the moment. I can't see. But what God saw and what had is today that I am talking about it today. What God knew is I will be up here speaking about the situation. If I was in that situation, if I had given up in that situation, I would have been killed. I would have been given up in the terms, okay, that's the end of my life. I wouldn't be talking about it today. And you have those moments in your life too, where you'll be looking back and thinking, yes, there was a moment God has given me. So we are not looking at the instant sight. This is not through the eyes we are seeing. What you are seeing is not the thing that God wants you to see. What He wants you to see is already there in faith, which is existence, which is already there existing for you, much more bigger than what we are expecting to see, or much more bigger than what has God already got, God has got for us. So let's move on to that in the situations where, you know what, this is not what I am, but God has given me much more. What does the enemy come and he throws many arrows at you? He'll be saying, you know what, If how we handle our shield of faith, and when the enemy is attacking, you know, we will be using God's promises against the attacks of the enemy. As we have been saying, God has given me the promise from Isaiah 42, 6 and 7 that I have been using. Yes, Lord, you have called me by name. God has given you a promise. When enemy comes against you and say, you know what, you are no good for anything, and people are saying, when you say, you know what, my God loves me, and he has given his only son for me. And you, the enemy might say, you shall be poor, you won't be coming out of the situations. But what I say is, my Father said he will never leave me nor forsake me. And the enemy comes and attacks you to say, you know what, these are the lies he comes up with. You are no good. This is what your parents told you. This is what your manager thinks of you. This is what your friends think of you. And we say, you know what, I have been set free. And we use the promises of God to say, you know, God has given me this. And you are weak. And you are ill. You can't be freed. And we say, there is healing in the name of Jesus. And those who are sick say, I am healed. Those who are poor say, I am rich. And this is where we will be claiming our promise. I am not saying just because instantly, just because of your sick, it's not what it is. But we know we are seeing far beyond our situations. We know maybe it is not here we are getting healed. But you know there is one day there will be no pain, no tears, anything. But looking through it makes our situations pass through. Looking through the destination of what we are looking at or what God wants us to be there, and you know it will make you to pass through the situations. But if you are look and stuck at the situation of where you are, and then we are going nowhere. So when enemy comes up with, you know what, you are guilty of what you say. Your sin is great, and you say, there is power in the blood of Jesus. And it comes up, they show, you know what you have done is shameful. You know, this is what you have done. And you say, God has cleaned me spotless. And this is the shield I put in. These are the promises I put in. When somebody comes with, you know what, this is your guilty of what you have done in your life. You know what, my God has cleared me of all the guilts. He made me as white as snow. This is what I see. This is what God sees you. This is what, when the day comes, when God the Father, when as a judge, when he looks at, he doesn't look at you of where you are. He looks at through the blood of Jesus. And when he looks through it, I am not poor anymore. I am rich in Jesus, because he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And when he talks to you about, you know, you're going to starve. You know what? Those birds who do not sow or reap, Heavenly Father takes care of them. How precious I am. So I'm never gonna starve. May that those lion cubs may go hunger, but I trust in the Lord. He will never make me go hungry. That's what I declare through the promise. And when anybody says, you know what, you have sinned a lot, this is what your sin is, this is great, and you can't be, and you can never be in relationship with God, or you can never have that good relationship, I will say, there is power in the blood of Jesus. And every stain can be removed, and he will make me white as snow. And this is what will be coming here. Now you might be in a situation where you'll be thinking, I am stuck. Whatever your circumstance might be, what is the promise that God gave you? What is it when God told you, you know what, I have called you by name. You are in the purpose of God. You are in my plan where I want you to be. This is where I want to take you. And this is where it is. It is not something that just a word we read, or it is not something it is used to make ourselves feel good. It is not a feel good faith. It is a stronger faith. It is a shield. Feeling good makes you run through it. A faith which is a feel good faith every enemy that attacks, that every arrow that comes through, it will pierce through it, penetrate through the shield and hits you the spot. But when we have that shield of faith saying, you know what, this is not a feel good, but this is a faith that is founded on Jesus Christ, which is stronger in the name of Jesus. I am just here to say, no matter what it is, even if it comes through at the time where Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego said, I am. He is able to deliver, even though he is not, I can see far beyond the situation. And in your life as well, I would like to ask you the same. Just when we are asking about, we do not live by faith, we do not live by what we are seeing, but we live by faith. And this is the efficiency of the shield, is to come against every fierce arrow or every fierce dart. Now, it is not just an arrow that comes and gives you, but it also burns you inside when you allow it. It burns and it penetrates through the shield if you allow it to happen. But what we should be happening is to quench it at the beginning. As soon as you are behind the shield of Jesus, who is where, as in person of Christ, is our faith, which we are in it. So when we are behind it, whatever the arrow, let it come. We declare in the name of Jesus that will be nullified. And we come against in the name of Jesus and we cancel it. And may there be the words that were spoken in our lives. May there be those things that our heredity has given us. May there be, we look back and think, you know, this is what is this is what has happened throughout in our family. But I am now in a family of Jesus Christ. And when I take it from Jesus, it's completely new. There is nothing, okay, my family has whatever the situations they are going through, the illnesses, the curses or anything, but I am free. I'm freed through the blood of Jesus. I would just like to ask you, if you could just stand where you are, and I would just like to give you a couple of minutes to reflect on the situations we are going through. And let's put the shield of faith, not allowing it to pierce through. Let us put a strong shield of faith, say, you know what, this is where I am standing. I am standing on this ground where, you know what, I am tucked behind this shield of faith. I am tucked behind the faith that Jesus Christ has given me and where my faith is in. And is this, the situations are telling you and the attacks are coming through by the enemy saying this is not going to happen. The reports that come through says this is the end of it. There is not going to be any more future for it, but God has hope. God has given us the hope and the future, and we are declaring what is the promise that God has given you, speaking against every attack of the enemy and say, you know, my God has given me this promise. My God is not a human to lie, and every word is fulfilled in my life. And looking back, those points where God has delivered you from those situations, where there was the attack of the enemy, but God has shielded you and put you and brought through the situation now. Today, we see in faith. We see in faith what is already there, what is existing up there, not the situation which is on the doctor's reports, not the situation which is in our bank accounts or the situations of overdrafts and the debts, not about whatever the children's behavior is, or not about the situations from the family or from where we come from, but it's about what we see in Jesus and through Jesus. Through the finished work of Jesus, when it is already finished. Now I am seeing what God has given me to be a healing, not what it is the illness. What I am seeing is not to starve, but the fullness and in abundance that God is going to give. It is not the guilt that has been carrying, but through it I am now shielding through the faith to say, God has already delivered me. I'm not carrying any more shame or anything, but God has cleared me from everything. Let's put that shield of faith and lift it up. Let it not go down. Let it not be put down. But lifting it up and saying, yes, I'm using it against enemy, no matter what you bring. I am coming against it through the shield of faith. Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you for the word you have given us.